now on mormonchannel.org, the Mormon Channel present Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
From The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We receive a lot of questions here at the Mormon Channel, and we encourage that. If you have a question for us, please send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We recently received a question that says, quote, "I understand that the apostles and 70s are called to be special witnesses of Christ, to testify of him in all the world. Can you please give us some explanation on what does it mean to be a special witness of Christ?" Close quote. That is a wonderful question representing a truly powerful principle essential to our latter-day work. One of the primary scriptural references to this call comes from section 107 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Beginning in verse 23, the Lord instructs, quote, "The 12 traveling counselors are called to be the 12 apostles or special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world, thus differing from other officers in the church in the duties of their calling. And they form a quorum equal in authority and power to the three presidents previously mentioned. The 70 are also called to preach the gospel and to be as special witnesses unto the Gentiles in all the world, thus differing from other officers in the church in their duties of their calling." Close quote. Ever since the beginning of the world, the Lord has followed a simple pattern in communicating to his children. According to Amos, an Old Testament prophet, quote, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." Close quote. That from Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Since Adam, the Lord has called righteous men, endowed them with the priesthood, and commanded them to bless and direct righteous saints. Much could be said about the many responsibilities of prophets and apostles throughout the ages. They have been called to lead and direct, to warn and to prophesy. Perhaps the greatest responsibility of one anointed of the Lord, however, is to serve as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophets such as Isaiah and Moses look forward to the coming of the Savior. Apostles and prophets such as the Apostle Peter and Joseph Smith of our dispensation spent their lives in ministries testifying that Jesus of Nazareth is the living Christ. In our dispensation, the Lord has established this same pattern through the restoration of apostolic authority. It's important to realize that by commanding prophets, apostles, and 70s to act as special witnesses of Christ, the Lord is fulfilling a special law which has been in place since the beginning. President Joseph Fielding Smith explained, quote, "There is a law definitely stated in the scriptures governing testimony and the appointment of witnesses. This law the Lord has always followed in granting new revelation to the people. All down through the ages, this law has been a fixed and definite one. If we had perfect records of all ages, we would find that whenever the Lord has established a dispensation, there has been more than one witness to testify for him. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, 'In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established.'" Close quote. Such an organization is necessary where the body of saints gather together because members of the church must constantly remind themselves of the true source of their happiness and salvation. The Savior is at the head of our religion, and it is only through his atonement that we are saved. Modern-day apostles seek to remind us of this vital truth. Sadly, this world, with its trials and distractions, often directs our attention away from that which is most important. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the October 1990 General Conference, spoke of the need that all church members have for constant, heartfelt reminders.
But our duty to be witnesses of Jesus Christ requires more than this. And I fear that some of us fall short. Latter-day Saints can become so preoccupied with our own agendas that we can forget to witness and testify of Christ. I quote from a recent letter I received from a member in the United States. He described what he heard in his fast and testimony meeting. Quote, "I sat and listened to 17 testimonies and never heard Jesus mentioned or referred to in any way. I thought I might be in some other denomination, but I suppose not because there were no references to God either. The following Sunday, I again attended church. I sat through a priesthood lesson, a gospel doctrine lesson, and seven sacrament meeting speakers, and never once heard the name of Jesus or any reference to him. End of quote. Perhaps that description is exaggerated. Surely it is exceptional. I quote it because it provides a vivid reminder for all of us. In answer to the question, what are the fundamental principles of your religion, the prophet Joseph Smith said, "The fundamental principles of our religion are the testimony of the apostles and prophets concerning Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day, and ascended into heaven, and all other things which pertain to our religion are only appendages to it." End of quote.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. Although special witnesses of Christ are called to witness to church members, this is not the extent of their stewardship. Special witnesses are called to go into all the world. President Harold B. Lee spoke as well about the special significance to the world of the message of the restored gospel and its ordained heralds. During the October 1990 General Conference, Elder Dallin H. Oakes recounted President Lee's words.
Speaking almost 20 years ago, President Harold B. Lee said, quote, 50 years ago or more, when I was a missionary, our greatest responsibility was to defend the great truth that the prophet Joseph Smith was divinely called and inspired, and that the Book of Mormon was indeed the Word of God. But even at that time, there were the unmistakable evidences that there was coming into the religious world actually a question about the Bible and about the divine calling of the Master himself. Now, 50 years later, our greatest responsibility and anxiety is to defend the divine mission of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, for all about us, even among those who claim to be professors of the Christian faith, are those not willing to stand squarely in defense of the great truth that our Lord and Master Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. End of quote.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We received a question that says, quote, I understand that apostles and 70s are called to be special witnesses of Christ, to testify of him in all the world. Can you give us some explanation on what does it mean to be a special witness of Christ, close quote. As the restored church began to grow, the necessity of such special witnesses soon became evident. In February 1835, the Lord directed the prophet Joseph Smith to organize the quorums of the 12 apostles and the 70 and ordain men to those offices. Both the 12 apostles and the 70 have the charge to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in all the world. Quote, thus differing from other officers in the church, close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 23. The 12 are charged to, quote, build up the church and regulate all the affairs of the same in all nations, close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 33. The 12 are to call upon the 70, quote, when they need assistance for preaching or administering the gospel, close quote. And the 70 are to act in the name of the Lord under the direction of the 12 in building up the church and regulating the affairs of the same in all nations, close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 34 and 38. Those of the 70 who have been called to assist the Quorum of the 12 in their special calling represent righteous men from all over the world. Currently, there are more than 320 70 from 53 countries and speaking 39 languages that are serving in the church. They are organized into 8 quorums. Members of the first and second quorums are general authorities of the church and may serve anywhere in the world they are called. Members of the 3rd through the 8th quorums are area 70s and are authorized to serve only in the area in which they are assigned. However, the authority of the general authority and area 70 is the same with regard to assignments given by the 12. As special witnesses of Christ, these ministers are called to seek out a special audience. While it may seem that apostles and prophets would be of most use testifying to kings and queens, presidents, prime ministers, and other influential world leaders, their calling most often points them in another direction. While an apostle in many circumstances does not address the mighty of influence, his true calling is to seek out individuals. Elder David A. Bednar explained this important truth concerning a special witness of Christ.
One of the things I personally do is when I meet with a gathering of saints, I'll often invite them to ask questions. Because the individual I need to identify may be in that congregation, and I cannot find him and I cannot find her if I'm just standing at the pulpit talking. And so to be able to find that individual and try to be as responsive as I can, not from my experience, not from my capacity, but with the help of the Lord to that particular individual in that concern. That's the nature of this work, and that's just a tremendous experience.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. Much of what church members see affects their view and understanding of the role of a special witness of Christ. Though they're often known for their landmark addresses to the multitudes through the means such as General Conference, Elder Bednar explains just as important is the duty of each apostle, where possible, to personally minister to the individual members of the church.
The commission is to go in all the world and proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think, for example, many members of our church think that what apostles do is give talks in our general conferences, and they see us in that venue. I would suggest, certainly that's an important part of our work, but everywhere we travel, we are to find individuals or families. That would be exactly the same today as it was anciently. So it's not a large corporation, and the apostles are not the board of directors. This is an individual work. The Savior knows people by name. He knows their circumstances, and He directs us in our work to bless the lives of individuals, not run a gigantic organization.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. Though there can perhaps be no greater calling than to seek out individuals and families and to testify of Christ to all the world, the Lord has always called ordinary men to such an extraordinary responsibility. In the same address, Elder Bednar likewise expressed his humility in the face of such truth.
We are very ordinary men that shoulder an extraordinary responsibility. It's not because of our background, it's not because of our experience or capacity that we have been called to these positions. The ancient apostles were common men, and that was a part of their credential. It had to be the Lord's work because it couldn't have been accomplished through uneducated fishermen. Well, the same is true today. We're very ordinary men, and this work cannot prosper because of any capacities that we may have. So it's the Lord's work, it's His restored church, and it's His direction that enables us to accomplish what He needs to have done.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. Speaking of the ancient apostles, President David O. McKay explained the importance of the Lord's pattern in raising up the humble of the earth. He said, quote, "These 12 men were, for the most part, Galilean fishermen who labored at their trade on the shores of Galilee. Matthew, however, was a publican, and therefore despised by the Jews, and Judas was a Judean. Some of the leaders of the Jews thought that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned they were, but not ignorant. For by their wisdom and preaching, they overthrew the whole edifice of human wisdom and led the world to the light of truth." Close quote. As regular men, special witnesses of Christ are not always called to be well-spoken or charismatic. They are, however, called and ordained to speak with authority from God. This authority is what enables them to act in such a glorious capacity. Elder Bednar explained this important characteristic of all special witnesses.
There's not a unique vocabulary for apostles to declare their witness. We use ordinary language. The difference is that as I declare my witness of the Savior, I do so in the authority of the office of an apostle. I witness and testify that he lives. I know that he knows us by name, that he is concerned about us in our individual circumstances, and I know that he lives. I witness that he's resurrected, that he speaks in these latter days through his servants, and that he directs the affairs of his church. It is the joy of my life to know that I will spend my life declaring that witness all over the world, and I know and witness that it is true. In the sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. As apostles and members of the organized quorums of the 70 act in the authority of their callings, they inevitably serve as righteous examples to the saints of the world. Providing a righteous example of gospel living is an important role of all those called to the special ministry of Apostle and 70. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, shortly after his call to the Quorum of the 12, expressed to the saints the weight of such a lofty responsibility.
My beloved brothers and sisters, this is obviously my first opportunity to stand before you. Since the events of June 23rd altered the course of my life and my service forever. That was exactly 100 days ago, and every one of those days I have prayed to be worthy of and equal to this sacred responsibility. Perhaps you can understand the immense personal inadequacy I feel and the deep, often painful examination of my soul I have experienced. Obviously, my greatest thrill and the most joyful of all realizations is that I have the opportunity, as Nephi phrased it, to talk of Christ, rejoice in Christ, preach of Christ, and prophesy of Christ, wherever I may be and with whomever I may find myself, until the last breath of my life is gone. Surely there could be no higher purpose or greater privilege than that of special witness of the name of Christ in all the world. But my greatest anxiety stems from that very same commission. A line of Scripture reminds us with searing understatement that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel. Beyond my words and my teachings and spoken witness, my life must be part of that testimony of Jesus. My very being should reflect the divinity of this work. I could not bear it if anything I might ever say or do would in any way diminish your faith in Christ, your love for this church, or the esteem in which you hold the holy apostleship. I do promise you, as I have promised the Lord and these my brethren, that I will strive to live worthily of this trust, and I will serve to the full measure of my ability. I know I cannot succeed without the guidance of the Master, whose work this is. On occasion, the beauty of his life and the magnitude of his gift comes to my heart with such force that, as a favorite hymn says, I scarce can take it in. The purity of his life, his mercy and compassion for us, have led me again and again to bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, "My God, how great thou art."
That's Elder Jeffrey R. Holland from the October 1994 General Conference. As special witnesses of Christ act in the strength of their callings, they become not only examples of gospel living, but they also come to represent the vast potential of turning ourselves over to the Lord. A righteous witness of the Lord can act as a powerful living example of the Lord's desire to make more of us than we are. Elder Bednar discussed the enabling power of the Lord, which came as a result of his calling as an apostle.
The longer you serve, the less able you feel. The longer you serve, the more you realize the tremendous responsibility and you know that you can never measure up. But what assists with that challenge is knowing that through the Savior's atonement, one is not only cleansed from sin, but one can receive strength to do very hard things. If I, knowing what I know of this responsibility, if I thought it was up to me and my capacity, I don't have any idea how to proceed. But knowing that I will be strengthened by the Lord to accomplish His work, as ordinary as I am, I can press forward knowing that I'll have that help. There are endowments of spiritual power that attend the office of the apostleship. So when one is ordained to the office of apostle in the priesthood and then set apart as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve and receive the keys of the kingdom, the rights to direct the work of the priesthood in all the world, there are spiritual powers that attend that. But that also applies to a 12-year-old boy who's called to be the president of a deacon's quorum. Now, he has a smaller field in which to work in a quorum, but the principle is the same. Our field is the entire world. For that 12-year-old boy, it might be 6 or 7 or 8 young men in that deacon's quorum.
Special witnesses of Christ are often called upon to reveal the Lord's will to the saints. Apostles, for example, acting within the scope of their callings, may at times speak specific words to specific groups of saints, offering apostolic counsel and promises as directed by the Spirit. On other occasions, such as General Conference, apostles speak to the body of the saints, providing instruction and blessings that may be applied and enjoyed by all righteous members of the church. In the October 2000 General Conference, Elder Joseph B. Worthland provided the church with a special apostolic promise of testimony.
Now I would like to bear my testimony. I know that Joseph Smith saw what he said he saw, that the heavens opened and God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, appeared to an unlearned youth reared in the backwoods of New York. As a special witness of the name of Jesus Christ in all the world, I promise you that if you seek the Lord, you will find Him. Ask and you shall receive. I pray that you may do so and testify to the ends of the earth that the gospel of our Lord and Savior is restored to man. In the name of my friend, my exemplar, my Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's Elder Joseph B. Worthland. The most important role of a special witness of Christ, whether as an apostle or a member of the Quorums of the 70, is to testify of Christ. These men are called to proclaim Christ to all of mankind. This has not changed since the beginning of creation. Elder Bednar expounded upon this, the greatest of all tasks.
The role of an apostle today is the same as it was anciently. We read in the Bible that those ancient apostles held the keys of the kingdom. The simplest way to define the work of an apostle is a missionary, bearing testimony of the reality and the divinity of Jesus Christ in all the world. The role of an apostle is to focus on individuals and families and bear witness of Christ. That is the first, foremost, and major responsibility and function of a member of the Quorum of the Twelve in these days. The focus is upon the teachings of the Savior, His doctrine. For example, there are trials I've not encountered that are remedied through the atonement of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to have personally experienced those trials to be able to bear witness of the Savior and of His atonement and of its cleansing and strengthening power in the lives of people who are struggling.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. As apostles and members of the 70 testify of Christ, they do not stand alone. Elder Dallin H. Oakes spoke of the responsibility of all members of the church to act alongside of those who have been called as special witnesses.
A few months ago, I received a letter from a church member who posed an unusual question. Do I have a right to bear testimony of the Savior, or is that the sole prerogative of the 12? In response, I will share some thoughts on why every member of this church should bear witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God commanded Adam, "Thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore." Then the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of the Father and the Son, came upon Adam and Eve, and they blessed the name of God, and they made all these things known unto their sons and their daughters. Later, Enoch described how God had taught Adam that all must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, whose atoning sacrifice made possible the forgiveness of sins, and that they must teach these things to their children.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oakes. When asked the favorite part of his apostolic ministry, Elder Bednar spoke of the ability to learn from righteous members of the church worldwide. Specifically, he recounted the joys of meeting with a faithful sister in Africa who had only recently been baptized.
Well, I may be unusual, but I just find it so invigorating to go to so many places in the world and learn from so many different people. A sister in Africa who had only been a member of the church for 8 months, she was teaching a class about fasting. Now, at the time, I was 54 years old, member of the church since I was 8, and an apostle for 2 years. Now, remember, she's been a member of the church for 8 months. This is in a place in Africa where they're not starving, but they're hungry most of the time. And they would probably have one meal a day, as we understand that. This woman was teaching the sisters in Relief Society, and she said, "Sisters, there are many days when we do not have food and we do not eat. That is not fasting. It's only fasting on a day when we have food and we can choose not to eat it." I had been a member of the church all my life, and I had to go to Africa to learn from a woman who joined the church just 8 months earlier what it really meant to fast. I am eager to go and learn from these faithful saints all over the world. They bless my life.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. By uniting our voices, we become a body of saints of one purpose, proclaiming and testifying to the world the divinity of Jesus Christ, our Savior. President Gordon B. Hinckley published to the world just such a witness, speaking with the collective voice of the church.
We who are assembled in this great general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Give our testimony to all the world that Jesus is the Christ, the living Son of the living God, that he came to earth in the meridian of time, the offspring of deity, that he walked the roads of Palestine declaring the truths of the eternal gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, and bringing the transcendent messianic message of hope to all who would hear, that he was taken by evil men, condemned and crucified on Calvary's hill, that he rose the third day, the first fruits of them that slept, the conqueror of death, the master of eternal life, that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, that he and his Father, the great Elohim, appeared to the boy Joseph Smith in the spring of 1820, ushering in this, the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he stands at the head of this church which bears his name, that in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the government of the kingdom of God is upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
That's President Gordon B. Hinckley from the April 1984 General Conference. Thank you for joining us today for another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We hope you felt the powerful love our Father in Heaven has for us in calling special witnesses to the earth in our day to testify of His beloved Son. We also hope that you felt the power your own testimony can have on others as you too testify of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on Q&A, please send us an email, mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also download other episodes of Q&A at mormonchannel.org. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.